Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
First time Kentucky's held an opponent under 200 yards in 5 years so far, and it's going to remain the case as Vanderbilt will finish with 199 total yards in the game as that pass incomplete to Pryor, and Kentucky can take a knee and enjoy this 38-14 victory featuring 35 unanswered points.
This is a game of momentum, and I thought we, you know, created some early, obviously, and then we were able to get up 14-3. And, you know, man, the defensive scooping score for a touchdown, and I thought we had great momentum. But, you know, today, we just got out physical on both sides of the ball, up front. Man, we lost the line of scrimmage, did not win the line of scrimmage, didn't tackle very well, could not tackle very well. I thought they ran, you know, man, through tackles, through arm tackles, and just extended drives. And extended plays. I mean, they were good on third down where we couldn't get off the field. Again, it goes back to tackling. We had guys at times, you know, 7, 8, you know, maybe yards in front of the chains, and they run through us. And again, I mean, it's just not strong enough right now.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. That was the other Derek Mason, Vanderbilt head football coach, following the loss to Kentucky over the weekend, 38-14 back on Saturday. And I do think there needs to be a discussion here. 198 yards of offense against Kentucky. Oh, by the way, that was their best performance in terms of yards in the last three games. 128 total yards of offense on the road against Florida. Obviously a very good quality of opponent there. 189 yards of offense on the road against South Carolina. They have not topped 200 yards of offense in three consecutive games. It's completely unacceptable. They are now 2-8 on the season. They finished the year 4-7 down the stretch in their final 11 last year because they won their first two. So if you do the math, you're talking what, 6-17 over their last 23. This was Derek Mason also following the game. About a little bit more broad discussion about the and commentary about the state of his program, the Vanderbilt Commodore football program.
You know what happens is this, man. I wanted this season, man, to be a great season, like I always do, man. I want it for these kids, but we had some deficiencies coming into the season. You know, starting the season 0-3, man, definitely didn't help it. And I mean, when you look at, you know, 0-3 teams here at Vanderbilt, man, they haven't gone on to do very well. So, I mean, the odds are against us. So, man, the biggest thing that I've tried to get our guys to do every week is make sure, man, that they compete and that they find ways, you know, man, to get better individually. Because when they get better individually, collectively, you know, we get better. I mean, we got a lot of guys coming back next year. And, you know, obviously quarterback, okay, man, is what we have to focus in on. Because, man, without a quarterback in this conference, it makes it really tough to be able to, you know, manage our offense and win games. We got to make sure, you know, with the future, man, that we land, you know, and hit on some quarterbacks. Because if we hit on quarterbacks, man, we got guys all around them. But the weight room, the offseason, all those things have to be important. But right now, man, I'm in the midst of trying to get a football team to function now while we still have guys that can make plays. I mean, Kalijah, Pinckney, you know, Keyshawn are still dudes, man, that can go get it. And Riley Neal right now is the one that's got to manage it. So next week, man, we got a game, you know, East Tennessee State, and let's go play.
So before we get into what the future should or should not hold for Vanderbilt and for Derek Mason, What I'd like to know is, what did you hear there, Derek? What did you hear from that man talking right there about the state of his program?
That it's in bad shape right now. That he knew coming into the season that they were not the same team they were prior. Losing Shermer was huge for this program. And he knew that coming in. And he relied heavy on, you know, the three guys. And he just thought if he can get adequate quarterback play, then maybe, just maybe, they could, you know, win six games and get into a bowl game. Well, that didn't happen. And they didn't get adequate quarterback play. And he's just hoping next year, he's a little bit optimistic, but he knows he has a uphill battle moving forward. It just sounds like he
sounds like a defeated dude.
Yeah,
to me.
He's going to get the guys through the season, but he's looking more so, if he's here, he's looking more so to next season, and he's trying to find that one position player so that they can at least, you know, be in contention for a bowl game. Because no, everybody knows Vandy's not winning 9-10 games. But if they can win six games again in that bowl game, that keeps them relevant within the SEC. And he needs that one guy. So I think they're putting all their resources to try to get that one guy. I don't think they believe in the quarterbacks they have right now.
I think all of the coaching staff's resources are doing that.
Yeah.
The question is the administration, Malcolm Turner, the new AD, and the university doing that? And I struggle with this in a big way because I don't believe that Derek Mason has been given the resources he needs to excel in the SEC in 2019. Mm-hmm. I think we all have admitted that. In fact, the coach has talked openly about that. Now, it doesn't look good coming out of his mouth because it sounds like excuses.
Mm-hmm.
When he's making excuses, even if they're real reasons why it's a struggle to win at Vanderbilt, which we all know the reasons why it's hard to win at Vanderbilt, like it's the same exact stinking list we've seen at Vanderbilt for years now, with the exception of James Franklin, who is the rare anomaly. You cannot expect to go hire James Franklin. Like, it's just not going to happen. James Franklin has happened once in 110 years for Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen again.
Exactly.
For another 110 years, if that's the ratio we're talking about here. So, and I've seen lots of Vanderbilt fans that say things like, and I respect this. I don't know if it's how I would view my team, and I don't think it's how most fans view their teams, but there are plenty of Vanderbilt fans that will say, I don't care about upside. I'm okay cycling up every 3 years to get to a bowl game, maybe a bowl game every, you know, 2 out of 5 years or 1 out of 3 years, or I'm okay with a decent football program every couple of years, knowing that we're probably going to go 3-9 most seasons, or 4-8 or 5-7, and we're going to struggle to get to a bowl game, but we're going to get there once every 3 years, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to do it with a person who I have the utmost respect for, who is a consummate professional and an ambassador for the university in the city of Nashville. There are lots of Vanderbilt fans that are okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else in the SEC is okay with that.
No, and I think, the few years they had James Franklin, I think it was sort of this, you know, lightning in the barrel or lightning in a bottle. And
either
it was
fine.
Either one works. It was an anomaly.
I don't want to be around the lightning when it's contained.
Exactly. It wasn't something that you see all the time at Vandy. Hell, it hadn't happened in
100 years.
Ever, yeah. So, you know, that was just one of those rare moments where the stars aligned and there was a cosmic shift. And it landed right, and that shift was right on West End at the University of Vanderbilt. Well, the universe got back right. And Vanderbilt is where they are now.
That seems kind of mean-spirited.
Yeah, well, that's the truth.
It is. It is.
And I think some...
He's beaten Tennessee a bunch, and he's gone to bowl games.
I think
it's not been a failure.
If you truly look at it, I think, you know, yeah, Vandy's not winning, but he has been truly an ambassador for this team. He said all the right things. He's done all the right things. I just don't think, what other coach are you going to, if you indeed move on, and I think no one likes it, especially not Coach Mason, but who are you going to get that's going to change, to turn this program around? And I know it's, you know, if you don't do it, then you'll never know. I get that. But Vandy's been at this for a very long time, and they haven't gotten it right but once. So if your past is any indication of your future, this is just what it is.
Unless.
6 wins, maybe 7, you know.
Unless there is new leadership that is taking the entire thing in a different direction.
But you're talking not just
not
AD.
Not Derek Mason, yeah.
You're not talking AD or you're talking about the people that give the money.
Oh, yes.
The big ones.
Yep.
The big wigs.
So the question is, if they are going to change their strategy as a university to attempt to compete at a higher level, and again, I want to hear from Vanderbilt fans, because again, I know there's a lot of you out there that are okay with cycling up to 6-6 every couple years, but
beating
doing
UT.
but doing it quote unquote the right way, whatever that means, because I do have a ton of respect for the for football coach Derek Mason and the man that he is. Mm-hmm. I have a ton of respect for that. At some point, winning is what you got to do. And so if you're okay with that, and if you're a Vanderbilt fan who wants...
But what is winning at Vanderbilt?
That's what I don't think anyone has a clear answer to. And so here's the question. The question is, if we are going to see a change at the top at Vanderbilt, with the decision makers who have the money, the athletic directors now in place, if they are actually going to do this change and make a bigger financial commitment to being successful at football, is Derek Mason the right guy to lead that new look Vanderbilt program? And that is a difficult question to answer. We will attempt that when we come back, along with your phone calls. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, 615-737-1025. If you want to chime in on Vanderbilt football's future, I don't think, you know, the look on the field has not been pretty for Derek Mason. The sound in the press conference is the first time it sounded like a defeated man to me. In the post-game press conference. We will talk, of course, with Derek Mason tomorrow on the show, 6:30. Rick Stansberry coming up from Western Kentucky in just a few minutes. We're going to get to your phone calls. I know you guys have already lit up the phone lines to comment on this, because I know there are tons of passionate Vandy fans, even if you don't see them all over the place. They are out there. And I guess the question I have, Derek, and this I'll start with you on this, is, and we'll get the calls, trust me, but if there is a new philosophy, if there is a new belief, a new commitment at the top of Vanderbilt, with the boosters and the decision makers and the president, all the way down to the new AD and Malcolm Turner, if there actually is going to be a new commitment to this, is Derek Mason the right guy for that job? And I don't think there's a clean and easy answer to that question.
No, you're right. But a lot of me, and I'm gonna be honest, I have a bias, and but not to the point where it's just going to totally cloud what I think about the university and how they should move forward. You know, I think Coach Mason, if indeed you're going to, if from the top, if everything's going to change, you're going to start to, you know, give more support to the football team. To all athletics, but just to the football team mainly, then I think you should at least give him the opportunity to play out his contract. Because to me, you were not giving him the things necessary to compete with everybody else. And if you're all of a sudden going to do it, then allow him to at least have first crack at it. Allow him to finish out the contract and have first crack at it. I'm not saying that, you know, that you shouldn't make the change. I'm not saying that.
If you're going to make the change as the head coach, you better give the new guy all the things that you need to win.
Absolutely.
Like, if you're going to just change and just stay with where you're at, then why get rid of Derek Mason?
Because he's going to end up being in the same situation Coach Mason
is
in.
Bingo. There's no reason, if you're not going to actually change anything, there's no reason really to move on Derek Mason. Now, do I think Derek Mason, after 6 years, have we learned enough information that says he's going to win SEC championships? Yes, I think we've learned enough information to say that he's not going to do that.
Yeah.
But
I don't think any coach coming.
But exactly, would do that. Is it fair to even ask more of what he's done, which is beat Tennessee even when they've been down and get to bowl games? You know, whatever, 2 out of 3 years, 2 out of 4 mm-hmm. years, 2 out of 5 years, whatever it is. I think that's a fair level of expectation. What do the fans think? That's a different discussion. So we head to the phone lines to find out. Patton's first up here on the show. Patton, what's up?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. And you mentioned some Vanderbilt fans being okay with a bowl game every 1 to 3 years. I'd love to meet those people because that just doesn't make sense at all to me. That sounds like a university shill and is okay where we're at right now. And to me, I don't get why this team or this university, this program, can't constantly win 7 to 8 games. 7 to 8 games is not that much in the SEC. Heck, Kentucky made it into the top 10 last year. I just don't see how we're in the Middle Tennessee. We're in the Nashville area. The amount of talent in Nashville is insane. There's no reason why we can't get some of these guys. They're all going to UT, and UT's been a dumpster fire for 5 years. So they've shown that if you can get a good guy in, get a good recruiter in, and one final thing, and I'll get off and let some of these other guys and girls talk. But Derek Mason, it's not that he wasn't given the tools. This is year 6, and with the amount of skill position guys and NFL guys they've got on that offense, and to only score 14 points against a Kentucky defense that, to me, got torched against Tennessee, is just unacceptable. And I think what Keyshawn Vaughn and Lipscomb and Jared Pinkney has done, they have been disgraced by Derek Mason, tricked them into coming back their senior year, and they're going to get hurt in the draft stock. And I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Thanks, Pat. There's a couple points real quickly here. Number one, the reason kids go to Tennessee over Vanderbilt is because Tennessee has spent hundreds of millions of dollars on facilities.
Yeah.
And they have a 100 years of history of winning championships.
And then academics.
I get all that.
It's harder to get invited than it is UT.
But that's the commitment that we're talking about. Like, they have five-star resort facility up there in Knoxville where kids come and, you know, they hang out in a spa essentially every day with, like, five-star chefs and, like, all this stuff. And I think that's fair. Also, Tennessee didn't boat race Kentucky. I think they scored, 17 points on them? The problem is that you gave up 38 points. Derek Mason's defense hasn't been fixed. Jason Tarver doesn't necessarily need to be on this staff anymore. And frankly, you gave up 38 points to an option offense, to a military academy. Kentucky's offense right now is a military academy.
Yeah. And what you don't have that UT does
love the troops,
have,
by the way.
What you don't have that UT does have on the field, regardless of how much you may disagree with what Garantano has done in the past, he's better than any quarterback Vandy has.
No question.
If you put all three of them together, he's still better than them.
No question. And he's on the bench.
Exactly.
Andy, what's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say this. I'm not a Vandy fan, but I've lived in Nashville for 20 years. And, Braden, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. Because when I think about the Jerry DiNardos, I think about the Woody Woodenhoppers. And I think about then Bobby Johnson. Then I can't remember the coach that took them to their last bowl game in 1982. That's the track record of this school. And changing just for change's sake, going to Derek's point, just to say we got another guy in there, whether you put a new stadium, if you throw all this money into the program, it doesn't change the fact of the things that you guys just said, how hard it is to recruit against the big boys in the SEC. And quite frankly, the thing that we don't talk about enough, Derek Mason is just a scapegoat. What we're not highlighting enough is the fact that Vandy's administration is happy getting that SEC check every year. It's SEC welfare for them, and they don't care. So it doesn't matter what Derek Mason does. And the fact is this: outside of James Franklin and Bobby Johnson, Derek Mason is the winningest coach in the history of the program. That's a fact.
Yep.
So We can change coaches just because we want to change coaches. And like I said, I'm not a Vandy fan. I just lived here for a long time. And there's a part of me that likes to see the fact that Vanderbilt these last 3 or 5 years have beaten Tennessee. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. But at the same time, we have a complacent fan base. We have a complacent even media staff that really overanalyzes this and try to say, well, why isn't Vandy where they should be? When you guys say the answer, totally, it's because the administration would not put any coach, I don't care who it is, Urban Meyer's not coming here. A Nick Saban is not coming here. A Bob Stoops is not coming here. So if that's not going to happen, and if the administration is not going to invest in the program, you might as well keep a Derek Mason.
I think that's a great case. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not welfare. Vanderbilt has the second largest endowment, I think, in the entire SEC. So that little check they get from the SEC is kind of like chump change to them when it comes to their. But listen, he makes great points, and I can't really disagree with much of what he had to say there. Doug, last up here on the show. Doug, what's up?
Hey, guys, I'm just listening, but I think Vanderbilt's getting just what they want. And I know that Franklin was an anomaly, but as far back as Corey Chavis, who I think broke down NFL drafts well, you know, you have a quarterback that succeeds, and you have linebackers that you dumped in the league, and you have the wide receiver, what's his name, that went to Philadelphia.
Jordan Matthews.
That's what you're going to get out of Vanderbilt is a sprinkling of people that are famous and make it to the NFL, sprinkling in a bowl every now and then, UT every other year. And that's what they want. They're satisfied with that. So not Derek Mason is the problem. That's what Vanderbilt is okay with. They're fine with that. Again, Franklin got something different, but he moved on. But you're not going to get any more than that going to Vanderbilt.
I do want to know. Thank you, Doug. I do want to know what percentage of Vanderbilt fans are like truly believe that they should be winning 9 games. Which portion is the delusional part?
Yeah, the only thing you need to do to and fans, you can say what you want to say, and we had some great callers today, and they all made some really good points. But on Saturday, this is how you can tell the support of a Vanderbilt football team. Go to the game.
Yeah.
Go to the game.
Yeah.
You'll see how much support they're getting. Just go to the game.
Now, it's not a good product right now.
Yeah, it's not a good product.
I wouldn't go watch that product if I was a Vanderbilt
fan. No, but even when they had a good product with Franklin, begging people to come.
Yeah.
He was begging. He was pushing people to come to that game every week.
Yeah, couldn't sell out.
Exactly. So that tells you what, you know, they think about the program.
I really appreciate, respect, and admire Derek Mason, the coach, the man. Mm-hmm. If you are going to make a change at the coaching position, you better provide the next guy with more stuff.
You better have a plan.
That's it. Exactly.
Have a plan.
Don't just try the same thing again. That's the problem I have with this. If you're going to stick with Derek Mason, fine. Stick with Derek Mason. If you're going to move on from Derek Mason, you better when you bring a new guy in, there better be a whole lot of other things coming with that guy. And that needs to be commitment, financial resources, facilities, stadium upgrades, you name it. It all needs to come with them, because otherwise you should not have higher expectations than what Derek Mason has delivered you.
If you make a change, you better have a plan, and everybody better know the plan. Everybody better know the plan. There's no secrecy. There's no nothing. If you make that change, everybody better know the plan, and everybody better, you know, this is what we're doing moving forward. You know, everybody knows there's no cloak and dagger. There's no high. Everybody across the board knows what's going on and why we are doing this. Don't just make the change and say, trust me. No, because the last, 40 years, other than one guy, we can't say we do.
Yep. Completely agree. We'll switch gears, talk a little college hoops when we come back. We're going to go up to Kentucky and talk to the best team's coach in the state. Kentucky Wildcats struggled last night. Western Kentucky head basketball coach Rick Stansberry when we come back. Morning Drive. Stick to Sports coming up in about 10 minutes. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive, and Rick Stansberry, Western Kentucky head basketball coach, as they will take on Louisville, of course, in the Music City Showdown coming up on November 29th. That's, I believe, next Friday. And tickets are on sale, of course, at Ticketmaster. That's at Bridgestone Arena. And frankly, Mace, it might be the game to decide who the best team in the state of Kentucky is. It's very possible.
Yeah, you're right.
Coach Stansberry joining us here from Western Kentucky. Again, tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com at Bridgestone Arena for Louisville versus Western Kentucky. Coach, thank you for joining us this morning on the show. How are you, sir?
Yeah, doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing very well. And first of all, just what does a game like this do? I know basketball, you're operating up there in a basketball-crazy state with a bunch of fans from all over the place, and you guys have great tradition there at Western Kentucky. But what does it do for your program to play a team like Louisville in a city like Nashville?
Well, I mean, first off, you're playing in a great venue in a great city. You know, Bridgestone, Nashville is a great atmosphere and city to play a game in. And anytime you have a chance to play against a you know, in-state team, you know, traditionally two of the traditionally rich basketball programs, and no question Louisville is one of the best teams in the country this year. You know, I think it's a plus for both programs.
Now, what do you, because obviously you've seen Kentucky play. I was able to watch them last night, and, you know, they look, it's a night and day between what they did against Michigan State and how they've played the last two or three games. What do you see as an advantage for your team? Because it doesn't seem like, you know, Kentucky is playing the way they played the first game of the season.
You talking our
Louisville? I'm sorry, Louisville. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm talking about Louisville. I don't know why I said Kentucky. I was looking at your name, but I said Kentucky. No,
I
Louisville.
Understand how you think.
Yeah.
I know how to
blue
everywhere.
Exactly. I'm sorry about that, Coach. But no, what gives you an added advantage? Because this Louisville team, they've went through their up and down, but they're still one of those marquee teams. What do you see as being an advantage for you?
Well, I don't know if there is anything you look at and say there's an advantage. I mean, Louisville is, you know, I think, the latest poll out of number two in the country. So when you're playing someone like that, I don't know if there's a lot of advantages you have going into the game. You just got to hope maybe that, you know, you can find some ways to do some things extraordinarily well to give yourself an opportunity to have a chance to win the game. You know, we think we've got a pretty good team ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, naturally, you know, I think Louisville is a team that really, really shoots that basketball. And again, you got to hope, you know, we play those kind of games that, you know, we can play awful well to give ourselves a chance to, you know, be in it at the end of the game.
Western Kentucky head basketball coach Rick Stansbury joining us here, 4-0 on the season, preseason pick number one, of course, in Conference USA to win that conference, and you're off to a great start, scoring a boatload of points. And I just, you know, you guys have, and I already mentioned, Coach, you guys have a great tradition there. All the great players, the NCAA tournament appearances. You know, we just had a star come through Murray State a little bit down the road from you guys. You're in a basketball crazy state. The Middle Tennessee area is surging right now with talent as far as basketball goes. Memphis and Tennessee are both doing good things. Just sort of this region of the country, you know, your state's always been basketball crazy, but are you seeing a change when you talk to recruits, when you talk to parents and coaches? Are you seeing a change at all in this area of the country, in particular maybe Middle Tennessee, as far as just an excitement level with the game of basketball and college hoops?
You know, I'm not so sure it's changed. I think there's a lot of places go through cycles a little bit. You know, there's been cycles probably when, you know, Tennessee and Vanderbilt weren't both great. And, same way maybe with a Louisville being down. But I think the cycle now is you look at this area, you got Memphis surging back. Tennessee is really, really good. You know, I think you got three or four programs in this state. One state alone that's really, really good. You got a, you know, program in Nashville and Belmont, who's a Coach Bird's had them consistently good. So when you throw that net around a 200 or 300 mile radius, there's quite a few good teams that you can throw that net around.
Now, Hollingsworth is your second leading scorer. He was one of your top scorers even last season. What have you seen from him this year? And I know it's early in the season, but what have you seen from him this year that maybe he has improved on from last year?
Well, again, there's no substitute for experience. So mm-hmm. more experienced player this year, and I think we have better players around him. I think probably the biggest adjustment's been for him this year that we're still having to play him at the point guard a lot of minutes. I mean, you know, that's a position that, you know, he can play. Is that where he's natural at? Probably not, because he's wired to score so well. But he's having to play at that extended minutes there at the point because, you know, the Kenny Cooper situation with that waiver. But, you know, he's a young man that, you know, scores a lot of different ways. You know, he shoots it, plays off that bounce, and, you know, has the ability to attack that rim. And, again, having some more experienced players around him, some you know, guys, I think can shoot a little bit better, probably helped his game too.
Rick Stansberry joining us here, head coach of Western Kentucky. Again, tickets on sale right now, Ticketmaster.com, Bridgestone Arena, Louisville versus Western, coming up Friday, November 29th.
Now, Coach, you just talked about, you know, Hollingsworth being a natural scorer, and typically you don't see that at the point guard position. He's more so of a distributor amongst the team, but he can score if you need him. How hard is that to take that mentality and of a scorer and make him more so a distributor, but still not, you know, not truly taking away his ability to score?
Well, it's a real fine line, and it's pretty difficult, to be honest with you. You know, you can't take away what a young man does best. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you've got to get him to do enough of it at the point guard that everything functions a little bit. So it's a real fine line. You know, like I say, he's a scorer. I think it's been a adjustment point, trying to read defenders maybe off of ball screens and, you know, and seeing that role guys, seeing those help guys. Those are things just takes time. But he's done a very adequate job for us there. And, like I say, he plays hard, he defends. And, you know, we're playing the Rawls kid from Chattanooga, who we think has a tremendous upside as a guard, as a point guard. But, you know, we all know, you know, when you're a freshman, there's a learning curve with that. So between those two guys, though, we've got to kind of, you know, find ways, get what we need from both of them to make our team function.
Hey, Coach, you've been around the game a long time, and you've coached at different levels, obviously, in the SEC for a long period of time, and back in your home state now at Western Kentucky. And, you know, with the name, image, and likeness, you just mentioned the transfer waiver thing being a story, and it doesn't feel like coaches in any sport have any idea why a player will or will not get cleared to play or not play. And also the name, image, and likeness stuff that's obviously kind of coming down the barrel at college athletics. Can you try to speak to what that particular rule, the name, image, and likeness thing, potentially could do to the difference between a program like Mississippi State and a program like Western Kentucky?
Well, you know, I've said this many times that, you know, as you well know, we had a great run there at Starkville, Mississippi State, and, you know, had a lot of years of success. But, you know, there's a lot of things here at Western Kentucky we have better there. You know, Bowling Green's a great city. We got a great facility, 18 skyboxes. We selling out every game. So from that standpoint, there's a lot of things we have better. You know, I think the thing that's changed, you know, just not Western Kentucky, around college basketball, is the abilities for kids just to kind of leave for whatever reason and come up with waivers to get immediately eligible. I mean, there's absolutely, you know, no rhyme or reason, it seems like, anymore for kids transferring, for kids being able to just go in that portal, just put the name in the portal and transfer. You know, you wake up one morning and you come to office, but even kids have an opportunity to talk to you. They've already put the names in the portal, but that's the rules. That's where we're at. I think everybody's got to adjust. And, you know, it makes everybody's roster, you know, a little bit more inflexible then. But because of that, on the flip side, you know, come springtime, it's not like early signing in the past. You already signed the pass. You need to kind of sign as many as you could because that pool of players got thin. But now that pool of players is a lot more in springtime from the standpoint of coaches who get fired, kids leave in of letter intents, which they can automatically do, kids who want to transfer to portal and get those immediate waivers. So those are opportunities now in the springtime, summertime that you have that you used to not have.
Coach Rick Stansberry, head coach at Western Kentucky. They'll play Louisville in the Music City Showdown coming up at Bridgestone Arena. Ticketmaster.com is where you can get your tickets. That's Friday, November 29th. Obviously, a win last night, over 100 points against Campbellsville. 4-0 now for you on the season. The voice is in mid-season form, Coach. We do appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach.
A lot of yelling and screaming.
Mid-season form, right? Listen, 109-66 last night against Campbellsville.
Good Lord.
So 4-0. And listen, they are the pick to win the Conference USA. And so it's a – listen, He did a good job, I think, of explaining that it comes in cycles, and mm-hmm. we're just in a really good spot right now in this area for college basketball. It's a fun place to be. So we'll see how mm-hmm. it continues. I know you watched Kentucky last night, yeah. so you'll have some thoughts. I know you got Big Blue Nation on the brain.
Exactly.
So we'll get to that coming up top of the hour. But stick to sports when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Preds coming up tonight against the Jets. Huge game at Bridgestone Arena. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But it is time right now to stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now on Morning Drive.
Hey, Stick to Sports is brought to you by Decorated Den Interiors. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den. When you're ready to decorate your home, offers or outdoor spaces. Single man, you're out there. You need someone to decorate it because you can't do it yourself. I know you can't. Believe me. I know you can't.
Hey, so single man. No faith in the single man
exactly,
out there.
I have no
faith. Man, have you seen my apartment set up? Exactly. Boy, my apartment set up is nice.
For the single men that are out there, or even, you know, those that are moving here to Nashville. There are a bunch of people moving here to Nashville. Hey, check out Decorating Den. You know, Bonnie's wonderful. She will go in. Got you covered. Design some for you. Everything will be perfect, I guarantee you. But in order to do that, you got to set up an appointment, and it's free. So, single man, I knew you like free things. So, this appointment is free. Check them out online, decoratingden.com.
Should we just call Marquise single man from now on?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
all
like
a single man. All a single man. All a single man.
Well, why don't you? I don't know what he was doing.
I mean,
you look like Beyonce, single man.
Whatever you have to say.
If you like it, then. You know, give me some Jack Daniels. But hey, wait, so when you're decorating your home, how, let's say I have jerseys hanging up in my living room.
Mm-hmm. Are they under glass?
No.
They need to be in glass.
What do you mean hanging?
Can help you out
what are you using, thumbtacks on a jersey?
Exactly. Yeah. What do you do? Nails?
Well, I don't have jerseys. I have jerseys that are in a closet that I've been meaning to hang up.
Are they autographed?
No.
Don't put them up then.
Then don't put them up.
Yeah, if they're not autographed, don't put them up. Especially if they're not in a case.
Yeah,
in a glass case.
I have one jersey hanging in my house.
A shadow case.
It is autographed and it is in a. It's in under glass.
Man, that's an Allen Iverson Denver Nuggets jersey.
Well, if it's not signed,
why would you hang up a random? You might want to wear that one.
Well, talk to Bonnie about that.
Yeah, call Bonnie.
Yeah, she'll let you.
Decorating Den Interiors.
Number one.
All right, fellas. Now, we always talk about this, how there's. It really shouldn't be two Carolinas, and there shouldn't be two Dakotas. Mainly two Dakotas.
Yeah, the Dakotas.
And here's another reason why there should not be two Dakotas. South Dakota was in the news yesterday because they unveiled this new educational campaign to stop the war on meth. It's a PSA campaign, and it's all through social media. They made these graphics. They paid taxpayers paid $450,000 on this new campaign for anti-meth.
So it sounds like their heart is in the right place, at least so far.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's the campaign. It's a bunch of pictures of random people, their school students, and here's the campaign slogan. Meth, we're on it.
What?
Huh?
That's the campaign slogan.
Oh, my God. Do people just sometimes do they look at creative?
Wow.
Creative is a term for advertising. Do you look at these things and just, like, how many different layers of approval did that have to go through where everyone signed off on it?
Because I know what they're sort of kind of thinking, like, meth, we're on the problem.
Yeah, we got it covered.
But
you can't say that we're on meth.
We're on it.
So,
oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
You have four senators,
exactly.
Dakotas. You have four senators. You only deserve two. You should be one state.
Meth. We're on it.
Look, I just sent you guys the picture.
Damn, four senators.
I just sent you guys the picture of the campaign, and it's...
I think I saw it floating around on social media yesterday.
Yeah,
I think they missed the point.
Yeah, but you got to have people in your... it's the same thing for, you know, anybody in general. You have to have people in your inner circle to tell you, hey, you know, I know you guys are coming up with this new campaign on anti-meth, and it's, you know, meth, we're on it, but how about we... do a little something different with the words, because it doesn't sound right when you have three football players on a football field.
And then an old rancher saying, meth, I'm on it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
meth,
the other one.
We're on it.
I get that they thought they were being so clever. They're like, oh, this is going to be so good. And you can see some, like, creative office with, like, three.
Yeah.
Creative nerds and a graphic designer, and they're coming up with a good tagline. Like, oh, we got this.
Were they on it?
We're on it. and right, and then you see the execute. Like, it's actually like it's pretty good looking at like promotional material. Like, the graphic design layout's pretty good. Like, they've done a good job with this advertising campaign. This is me using my college degree for the first time as an adult, as an advertising major. It's good stuff.
You missed the point.
How many people looked at it and said, okay, like, how many layers of approval did it have to go through, mm-hmm. where you said you had like the guy who laid it out,
yeah,
or the
so
girl
basically
who laid it out, and then his boss, and then her boss, and then his boss. Like, it had to have gone through four or five people.
So a bunch of people say yes to this.
Looked at this and said totally fine.
Look, so just imagine we're sitting in a boardroom, right? We're the South Dakota officials. We got to come up with this new anti-meth slogan. Here comes Doug from, you know,
or Susan.
Doug or Susan from the third cubicle over. Hey guys, I got it. I'm going to unveil it to you. He has a little cloth over it. He's like, we're going to stop people from using meth by our new campaign. And he
unveiled it. Meth.
And everybody's just cheering?
Like, we're on it. Hold on. Do you think?
I'll tell you who's on it. You're Susan. You're on it.
Hold on. Do you think that North Dakota has distanced themselves far from this?
Yes.
If I'm North Dakota, I'm putting out a press conference statement right now, distancing ourselves from South Dakota.
We want no part of this.
Meth. We're not on it.
Like, South Dakota, we ain't with them.
Right.
Gosh.
And these people have four senators?
Man.
How many people are in the Dakotas? And why is it plural? I'm never going to give up on this. Like, Tennessee has whatever. I don't know how many million people we've got in Tennessee. We have 10 times as many people as are in South Dakota and North Dakota. I'll look up the exact numbers, but I'm pretty sure it's exactly 10 times.
What if there were two Tennessees?
No, that would be dumb.
South Tennessee.
We already have three Tennessees, west, east, and middle.
Yeah,
But we all have two senators.
Yeah. You guys remember a show called Gangland that used to be on A&E? Yeah. That used to be an amazing show. They had one in like Bismarck, North Dakota. And I was like, what is there to like doing? Why do they have gangsters in North Dakota?
There's gangsters everywhere, man.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I love them.
The amount of people in those two states.
Man.
Why do they get four senators? Just make it a Dakota and give D.C.
Dakota.
And give some senators to D.C. or Puerto Rico or something. It's ridiculous.
Just say Dakota.
It's ridiculous. Just Dakota.
Number two.
All right. This is a discussion we had during the break, and it's kind of, we were watching NFL Network and someone had a short sleeve, which I don't get this because winter wear is hard to come by, obviously. Like, sweaters are expensive to buy. And this woman who's on NFL Network had a turtleneck with a short, with no sleeves on the sweater. A sleeveless turtleneck, which I don't get the concept of sleeveless hoodies.
Are you like a fashionista? Are you a female?
I'm not a female, but I'm a fashionista.
You're
a fashionista?
Look at me, man. Got Levi's and Alabama shirt on.
I'm with Munson on this. I don't get the whole sweater, sleeveless sweater turtleneck thing.
But then you're asking me, who doesn't know anything about fashion, trying to understand anything that women do with their clothing.
But it's not
any of it. Why are there ruffles everywhere? I don't need any ruffles.
But it's not even just that. It's
ruffles
like,
everywhere
if
now.
You watch on the sideline on NFL games, like, there's coaches with the short sleeve hoodies on, but they got like
What's Matt Rhule wearing?
Yeah.
I have no idea what he's wearing.
I understand the short sleeve sweater thing because they usually cut them off. Is because you don't want that. It's sort of like that heaviness on your arms. You would rather just cut the sleeves off and wear a thin, long sleeve shirt.
I'm sure.
And do it that
obviously.
Way. But I don't get the, sleeveless turtleneck sweater.
Is my neck cold?
Again,
and my arms hot?
Why did everybody's pair of jeans get a foot taller in the last 5 years?
Yeah, you got a point there.
Everybody's jeans now go up to the middle of their back. That happened in the 70s and the early 80s, and then it went away, and now it's back again. And I'm like, why does everyone have tall ass syndrome? I don't understand.
Yeah.
There was an 80s or 90s fashion fad that you would bring back. What would it be?
Nothing in the 80s.
Wow.
Zero things from the 80s. Not
Let
a single thing. Not
I'm
leg warmers, not scrunchies, not side ponies.
Well, leg warmers.
Not shoulder pads.
Yeah. Bell bottoms. Well, it's back anyway.
That's 70s, though.
Yeah, 70s.
I don't mind bell bottoms. Those are cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like Nelly and just wear a backwards jersey. Yeah.
There's nothing good from the 80s.
Can we bring back the Band-Aid on one eye? Yeah, let's do that.
I have this argument with Darren and Willie all the time.
Exactly.
Because they're two 80s kids, and I'm like, y'all did nothing good in the 80s. Like, there's no good music, movies, fashion. Like, if we if the 80s disappeared, and I was born in the 80s, there was nothing.
Cross-color jeans, bring those back.
Oh, yeah.
You want some Stone? You going to wear some stonewashed jeans?
If they brought them back.
Who's they? Your daughter in New York making all these rules? I mean,
it takes the fashion, you know.
Knuckleheads.
Yeah.
On Madison Avenue.
To make it trendy again.
See, and this is what I'm saying. You guys are like, oh, I don't really like the sleeveless turtleneck.
I don't like the
sleeveless. And I'm like, I don't understand any of it. Like,
D-Mace, you were playing, and I know you made a lot of money, so, you know, you were, you know, fashionista, and you had, you know, stylists or whatever.
But did you wear sweatpants every
day? Did you ever wear, like, tall tees? Like, you know.
No, I didn't wear the tall tees.
That was back in, like,
tall tees, big pants. I didn't wear the tall tees.
You didn't have Hilfiger jeans with the hammer, just in case you had a place to.
In college, I did.
I mean, what if you were carrying your hammer? Where were you going to put that hammer?
I was wearing
it. You needed your tape measure.
You needed a little hoop to put your hammer.
You know, you had to measure something. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
We all look like skaters.
I was wearing a size 38-32, and I'm about a waist 32.
You had on like two pair of shorts underneath.
Yes.
Like, why?
And here's the problem, too, with wearing the basketball shorts under the jeans, is it makes the jeans fall down even more.
Exactly.
Because the mesh is slippery.
Wow. I was wearing a 3X t-shirt.
I'm just thinking about this. Oh, my God.
That's why my mom's like, you know, why do you wear mediums and like large? I'm like, I like my clothes to fit now, you know. I can't go back to the days.
Listen, you're single. You got to show off your treats, man.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Got to show off the guns.
A 3X shirt, and you were really a medium.
Oh, I was wearing XL stuff in the 90s in high school, too. Oh, I had XL button downs that went down to my knees. It's ridiculous.
My jerseys were 2XL.
Right. It was so bad.
That was actually the style.
Everything was baggy, from the waist all the way to the ankles, the shirts.
You know it's
everything.
Coming back. It's coming back.
It better not.
No, it is coming back.
I've seen some people doing it. It makes no sense.
It's coming back.
All right. I don't.
With the Kanye oversized white T-shirts, yeah.
Yes, let's come back. All right, let's go.
Give me a break. Fashionistas make no sense. Kentucky basketball? What is going on? We'll get to that when we come back.
Yep.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.